fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 8th day of December, year of our Lord, 2017. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Prepper tip of the day. I want to urge you in the strongest words possible to please prepare for EMP. Seriously. The more I learn about the geopolitical state of the world as it stands right now on Friday, the 8th day of December, the more I review and analyze what's going on, the more deeply concerned I become that we may soon become, the United States may soon become a target of a nationwide electromagnetic pulse attack. So your prepper tip of the day is to diligently work on getting ready to survive and get through an EMP attack. We are patiently waiting in green with my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began his quest to become quite knowledgeable in radio frequency engineering and become a ham radio operator more than half a century ago. Tom is a real trooper hanging in here this morning. He's got some flu-like symptoms that are kind of slowing him down, but not stopping him. Are they, Tom?
No, John. I've got my energy cleaner fired up, some hot tea, and a mute button, so if the hacking starts, I can mute the microphone.
Outstanding. Well, we appreciate your being with us, Tom, despite your not being quite 100%. A couple of topics we're going to talk about today. One's going to be neighborhood communication. The other's going to be communication with your county authorities. And we'll start with neighborhood first. Now, your neighborhood may be a suburban or urban area. It could be a small town, or it may be a sparsely populated rural area like where I live. There's a number of different choices. So the first question is, who will you be communicating with and why? That would be the first thing. If you're in a suburban area, it's probably going to be a fairly small area you're going to want to communicate with. Most likely the people in your subdivision, if that's where you live in a subdivision, or the street that you live on. Maybe there might be a small identifiable neighborhood that you live in. There's a number of different choices, which could be anywhere from 8 or 10 homes to maybe 100 homes spread out over an area that might be, maybe 20 acres, for example, or possibly 100 acres, depending on your situation. Under those circumstances, in a short-term or long-term crisis, people are going to be concerned about when's the electric going to be back on, when's there going to be water, when will food and when and where will food or water be available, and, of course, security is going to be a major concern 24/7. All those things will need to be addressed with neighborhood communications. If you decide to get involved in this, you're going to find that most people aren't interested. You might find one family out of 10, which is, quite frankly, a bit optimistic. People with small children might be more interested than others. Retired people might be more interested than others. Men and women who are employed with no children, you might find to be the least interested. They're so busy with their lives. With that in mind, how would you organize a neighborhood? You would have to reach out to people. A social event would be a good way. Say you had a block party, which is non-threatening. You get to meet and know your neighbors and talk over things with them. And at some point when you think it's appropriate, reach the topic of, what would we do if we had an ice storm? What would we do if that next flood came through here nearby and knocked out the power? Anything that's appropriate for your area. If you're in California, you might be talking about fires, obviously. And see if there's any interest in people preparing to deal with whatever natural calamity might be more likely than others in your neighborhood. Obviously, if you're in North Dakota, hurricanes are not too much of an issue, but tornadoes could be. And if there's an interest, then you follow up by suggesting that, wouldn't it be a good thing if we had our own neighborhood communications? And take it from there. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I agree 100%, John. And with the neighborhood communications, I think the GMRS or FRS radios would be pretty good. As long as you don't need to talk great distances, they operate on UHF, the 450 megahertz band. And the rangers would be neighborhood only. You're not going to talk a mile. You see these things sold, and they advertise that they have 20-mile range. And maybe if you're in two hot air balloons or something, you might talk 20 miles between balloons. But, no, not on the ground. I think the range for those reliably would be up to a half a mile. Right. But that would be good for most neighborhoods. And then maybe somebody with the base station that would be in touch with county officials that you mentioned, they could also have the FRS or GMRS radio as well, and they could relay any messages that were important.
Our choice in our neighborhood, we're doing two things in our neighborhood here. First of all, we're setting up an FM transmitter that transmits on a commercial FM frequency. We're picking a frequency on the left-hand side of the dial where you get better transmission qualities, better engineering as far as the way the signal goes out on a open frequency. It has no stations nearby. So that's just to put out information from our central command and control. And then for two-way communication, we're going with CB radios with very large base station antennas that have radial arms coming out from them, and we'll keep our testing and routine trailing use to 5 watts. But our area encompasses 100 square miles, Tom. 5 miles to the four compass points is 100 square miles, and actually we need to reach out even a little bit farther than that. 11 meters is another way to describe CB, and It's something that will be effective, will allow us to communicate as far as we need to, and yes, we will use amplifiers as needed, even though the FCC does not allow more than 5 watts during an emergency situation. we will do what we need to do. And the FCC does allow you to do what you need to do when property and life is at risk, don't they, Tom?
Well, I don't know how to answer that last question, John. They have some.
Well, they do. I've looked it up.
Okay. Well.
If life is at risk, you get to do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
To protect human life. That question comes up all the time about the FM transmitter. I say, no, we don't have a license, and no, we don't need one because we're not broadcasting unless there's life and property at risk. And even then, it's only going to be for short periods and with only 25 watts, so we're not going to be zapping our signal, you know, great distances. That simply won't happen. But people need to be creative and think outside the box, don't they, Tom?
Well, that's for sure. And you've done a really nice setup there, John, with your plans and your system that's been installed. That's really a great setup. And you do cover a wide area in your neck of the woods. The small FRS and GMRS radios for an urban area would suffice. But again, in these rural areas where we're located, you might need wider coverage, whether it be VHF radios or the CB. And 5 watts on a CB, I think, would cover your entire area with no problems. I don't think you would need an amplifier.
Well, actually, we do have problems because local first responders, fire department, emergency medical services, and the sheriff's department, they have very expensive, state-of-the-art radios, and even they have issues down here because of the terrain.
Well, they're on VHF, too, John. They're on high-band VHF, which doesn't fill the valleys. When you get into low-band, and CB would be considered a low-band radio, which is typically 30 to 50 megahertz, but they're on 27 megahertz. The ground wave is what you're really looking for. Everybody talks about the skip and the signal bouncing off the ionosphere and coming down hundreds of miles away. You're going to get some of that here and there, depending on the sunspot cycle and so on. But it's the ground wave signal that you're looking for, and that will go pretty far and go in the hills and valleys. You know, the Missouri State Highway Patrol was using low band for years, and they went to this new system where they all interact with the local law enforcement agencies, wherever the Highway Patrol happens to be. They'll use the sheriff's system or the local police radio system, and they go through them, and they abandon the low band system, which personally I think was a mistake. That low band system would really cover some great ranges. That was on 42 megahertz. So I think you'll be okay. Have you tried it out at 5 watts?
Not yet. That's coming. We're probably going to wait. It was 10 degrees this morning, first thing. So we're probably going to wait till a little bit warmer weather before we do our testing, at least up in the 40s or 50s.
What's the longest range you're typically going to communicate?
Line of sight. It's going to be line of sight, I'm going to say, about 10 or 12 miles. We've got one of our families is about 10 or 12 miles away. And they got a fairly high spot. Our Radio Shack's at a fairly high spot. We will have very sophisticated state-of-the-art antennas and good high-V coax. So we have a lot of optimism we'll be able to communicate, but that remains to be seen.
I don't think you'll have any trouble. The problems will be in the deep valleys, and that's always a problem with any system. So as long as they can get an antenna high enough in the air, they'll be fine. I think the 5 watts will do it.
Well, it might, and we'll start out with 5 watts and see how it works out and go from there. If you've got a question or comment about communications, emergency communications, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Now, the GMS and the FMRS, they have base stations available for those systems as well, don't they, Tom?
I believe they do. Well, for the FRS, I'm not sure. I know they do for you can use GMRS equipment. You can set up repeaters. I believe it's 50 watts is the maximum power. But you could put a 50-watt repeater on a mountaintop or a tall hill with a tower, maybe a 50 to 100-foot tower, and you could cover probably the majority of your area just doing something like that. So right. You could have mobile repeaters in the cars, so people could use a handheld that talks back to their car, and then the car retransmits that signal with a much higher power back to the base station or repeater, and you would have tremendous coverage. But that's an expensive system to set up, too. But that's what the police do right now. You see them with their HTs and all that. You'll always see it several antennas on those cars, because one of those is for the mobile repeater that they're using in the police car. That puts the high-power mobile radio, takes advantage of that high-power mobile radio and puts that function right in the palm of your hand with that small portable radio. So you can use the HT to go to the car and back to the base station. Works great.
Well, I was looking here. Midland has a 15-watt GMRS radio with repeater, $132 delivered. That's not terribly expensive, quite frankly.
Well, if it's a repeater, though, you need the duplexer setup. You see, the way a repeater works, it transmits and receives at the same time with one antenna. So a duplexer is a RF network that blocks the transmitter power from going back into its own receiver and blowing it out, and it allows the weak signals that they're trying to pick up with the repeater receiver, it allows those to come through and not be interacted with the transmitter. It's rather complex, and they're hard to set up. I'd be amazed if you could get all of that for $132. It probably just the repeaters, what you're seeing there, John, and the duplexer is a separate item. The duplexer can cost several times what that repeater unit costs.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good information, and it's something I haven't looked into very much. So it is going to take a little bit of homework, a little bit of research. And before I forget, Tom, we have our first meeting of our new ham radio club this coming spring in Viburnum. I would like to invite you to be there. We're going to have all the hams from the area and invite people who would consider becoming hams at this first meeting. And I found out also the Crawford County Ham Club is somewhat active. I thought they were defunct, but I'll be talking to those folks also and getting active with that group once again. I haven't been to one of their meetings for quite a few years. But ham radio is where you really get the information and get the knowledge, isn't it?
Well, that's very true. I didn't know Crawford County had a ham club. Where do
they did. I don't know where they're meeting, because the restaurant they used to meet at is now closed. There was Muslim ownership of the restaurant for a while, and all the Christians, church people, stopped going there on Sundays. So they pretty much killed that business.
Oh, is that the place? Is that the place we used to meet?
Right. Country Kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the ham club met there. I wasn't aware that there was a ham club in that area. I know there's one over by Sullivan.
Right. Well, there's a lot of crossover people that belong to both groups. And like I say, I understand that they're meeting once again, at least on a somewhat regular basis. And I'm going to find out who's active in it and talk to them and see about getting that thing more up to speed. When I met with county officials on Monday, there was a renewed interest in working with the hams and working on emergency communications at the county level. So I think this is how the whole thing's going to move forward, Tom. And the reason I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, is because you need to be looking at this for your own community. There's about 3,300 counties in the United States. Majority of them don't have that many people like mine, quite frankly. There's 25,000 residents in Crawford, which is bigger than many counties. But emergency communications is a matter of life and death during a crisis, isn't it, Tom?
Sure is.
It is. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the InterShelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The InterShelter Dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Derek Moore here on Friday, the 8th of December. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency communications. Tom, during the break, I was doing some quick homework here. I located on eBay a Motorola repeater compatible with GMRS. I used a unit for $500 with $50 shipping. That's probably more like what you were talking about, isn't it?
I think so. Is it a probably used piece of equipment? And it's also, John, I think...
With duplexer, right.
With duplexer, okay. That's a good price. And the thing to keep in mind is with GMRS, I don't think they need to be narrowband. All the other communications equipment after January of 2013 has to be narrowband. And any interaction with the county officials with their systems, that will all be narrowband.
Right.
So
right.
You have to keep that in mind. But that put a lot of used equipment on the market, which can be picked up for some pretty low prices nowadays, and that's probably one of them that you're looking at. I have several of these repeaters sitting here with duplexers in them on 450 megahertz right now. Right. They came from the St. Louis airport and only taken out of service because of going narrowband. So they're out there, and I believe they can be I don't think GMRS had to go narrowband, so you can still put that equipment to use.
Right, right. Now, this Motorola repeater new would have been, what, more than $2,000?
Oh, John, no. No, that some of their equipment, the current production, I mean, it could be $10,000 or more.
Okay, all right.
Yes, they're very expensive.
Yep, and it's a matter of supply and demand, because when they went to narrowband, the demand basically vanished, didn't it?
Yeah, that really did happen, yes.
Right, right. Well, that's good for us, because we can get the highest quality professional equipment, the same kind of equipment that the FBI and the CIA would use for pennies on the dollar, can't we?
Oh, yeah, that's very true. And this equipment is really works great. I mean, the older stuff that was taken out of service because of the narrowband regulations, that didn't make it obsolete. It works great. In fact, you talk to some of the police officers that have used both systems, and they'll tell you they like the old system better. The fidelity was better. It just sounded better because any time an FM transmitter always sounds better with a wider bandwidth. And when they narrowbanded this stuff, it just really made it sound a lot worse. They sound kind of tinny, not that good. So the older equipment still works great, and a lot of the ham operators are using that equipment that's been taken out of service due to narrowbanding, and they have no troubles at all. They just convert it to their frequencies, and they're off and running.
Right. Well, that's good news. That's real good news. You got a question or comment about emergency communications, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Lots of options. Now, locally here, we have we will be getting our local, our civilian emergency preparedness group. We will be getting a designated frequency for us to talk to the county officials. That hasn't happened yet, but I was told several years ago they had some frequencies available that were unused. We've already got a designated frequency from another community for emergency communications with our preparedness group with the city officials. But it takes pre-planning and time and diligence and work to make these things happen, doesn't it, Tom?
What sure does, and you do have to make a presentation to the local officials, explain how you can help them, and see if you can fill their needs. Many times they need more eyes and ears out in the community, especially during disasters. And, of course, the ham radio operators and anybody else that's involved in this communications project would be very helpful for them.
Well, a heads up as far as the politics is concerned. If you don't walk cold into a meeting of a fire board or a meeting of the communications board and make your presentation, what you do is you meet with the head of whatever group it might be first and discuss it and get a consensus with the head and maybe his second or her second in command before you make your presentation to the group. So there's already a consensus and knowledge and buzz built up before you walk in the door to make this presentation. That's how it's done, Tom.
Well, yeah, sure, that makes sense. I mean, but you would outline what you propose and get with that director or one of the officials privately, and then they would invite you, I'm sure, to make that presentation in a formal meeting and take it from there, see what happens.
If it's even needed, because the director may have standalone authority to make these decisions on his own, which would be great, and it would streamline everything. It's going to vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction as to how it works out. Here's our bottom of the hour break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our energy cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an energy cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the energy cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get energy cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the energy cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you. All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 8th day of December. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Got a free download at my website. If you scroll down the right side of my homepage, right next to the video, the John Wayne video from 1970, EMP Commission Executive Report 2008. It's 208 pages. It will give you the information you need to understand what EMP does, how it causes damage, and how to mitigate that damage. Keeping in mind, they weren't able to test motor vehicles completely because of their budget didn't allow them to spend the money to do that properly. So you need to, I would suggest printing it out on three-hole punch paper and put it in a binder. It's that important. Very, very important. Also, my website, of course, are energy cleaners, marvelous healing devices. The next few days, I'll be extending the warranty going from 30 days to 90 days. It sounds like a good thing to do. I'm going to go ahead and move forward on that. A healing device, if you have arthritis pain or joint pain or back pain, it will most likely help you. Not getting a great night's sleep, it will probably help there as well. Only $285 shipping included. And yes, I do have a 30-day money back, soon to be 90-day money back guarantee on the energy cleaner. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads. About half my sales now are people buying their second and third units for friends and family that are hurting and need to get their life back. I do take PayPal, the most secure way to make any payment online. If you live in the United States, just like one of my customers earlier this week, you can make payments to PayPal now and spread out that dollar amount over several months if you need to. I have a toll-free hour line, and of course you can send checks and money orders to my address. My address is at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free hour line, 24 hours a day, here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with, I almost said Professor Tom McCanny, visiting with Tom Berryhill. And Tom, you do have as much or more knowledge than many professors who teach this stuff for a living at the university level, don't you, sir?
Well, I don't know, John.
Well, you do. I've met these guys and talked to them. And they are clueless about some of the stuff you and I routinely talk about and do. And we're talking about emergency communications. As my sheriff said a month ago, he says, John, without communications, you don't have squat. You don't have anything without communications.
That's very true.
You're back to getting things done the way they were done a century ago with couriers. Hopefully the couriers would have motor vehicles, but couriers may be on horseback or bicycle. That's how severe and how quickly things could degrade. If you've got the proper equipment, if you're trained to use it and set it up and use it properly, if it's stored in such a manner that EMP will not cause it harm, then you're good to go, aren't you, Tom?
Very true, John. And a simple EMP storage system could be a metal trash can and some cardboard boxes inside to keep your other containers from touching that trash can. Ground the trash can and use metal ammo cans or other metal storage containers to put your other items in that you need to protect and store those inside that trash can. That would work pretty good. Like we talked about last week, the magnetic component of the EMP could be the most serious thing. So something to consider.
Well, given the gravity of the situation, when I say gravity, life and death, things don't get any more serious than that. Given the gravity of the situation, yes, go ahead and double up. So you put your electronic components, radios, battery chargers, and so forth, power supplies, inside, let's say, a steel ammo can that's lined with cardboard or heavy fabric, a little piece of carpet or something, so it doesn't touch that steel ammo can. Then take a larger can, say a galvanized steel trash can, nice, brand new and clean, and line it with cardboard or an old carpet so that the metal ammunition can can't touch it, and then ground the outside can, the galvanized can. Right, Tom?
That would be pretty effective. See, what happens when that large magnetic field comes swishing through the area, just the movement of that magnetic field will induce currents in anything that's metallic. And so you want to isolate yourself from those. Shielding it from the electrical component is one thing, but the magnetic component of that wave is very damaging, and that would set up currents that could induce internal currents inside the chips and diodes and transistors, so on, in the equipment you're trying to protect. So when you keep that outer metal container grounded and separated from the other metal containers inside that you're putting your equipment in, there's a really good chance that you'll survive that 100%.
Right. Now, I only found out recently that some of these batteries do, in fact, have electronic components inside them. I always believed that none of them did. I know C's and D's and AA's don't, and lead-acid batteries don't. But some of these batteries do actually have electronic components inside them, don't they, Tom?
Yes, they do. That's very true. And John, some of these batteries, the membranes in them are so thin that it wouldn't surprise me if an EMP attack also caused them to fail. In fact, if it did cause those membranes to internally fail and short out, you could have some catastrophic meltdowns with these, some of these real late model new technology batteries, like the lithium ion and so on. They could actually melt down in a all out attack.
Well, it would not take undue effort. It would not take undue effort to go ahead and include the batteries, unless they're common C's and D's and double A's and so forth, or lead acid, to put those batteries inside the protective boxes with the rest of the electronic components, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's true. You know, not trying to be funny or anything, but it's possible that in an EMP attack, that a lead acid battery might get such a jolt that it might actually charge it up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it would harm it.
Well, as long as it's disconnected, you want to have everything disconnected, any electronic components. And the charges, let's not forget the charging systems that we have for these batteries. They're just loaded up with left to right, top to bottom, with electronic components, these chargers, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. Look, anything you plug in the wall, anything that you rely on a regular basis, have a backup and have a way to store some of these devices in a shielded container so that they'll be ready to go after the attack. Of course, John, we've talked before, and I think you've even mentioned it, that perhaps the initial attack is one thing, but the maybe later on, the enemy would
a follow-up attack.
I
would say no more than a month. I would say anywhere from 24 hours to a month later is when a secondary follow-up attack would come to knock out as much of the residual electronics as possible.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I keep several pieces of communications equipment stored securely so that even if maybe one or two layers of that equipment was wiped out, I'd still have a backup that I could get to. Months down the road, and
Right. Hopefully
that would be enough. But we just don't know. We won't know until it happens, if it happens. I hope it never does.
Well, hope is one thing.
Yeah.
Reality, my reality is, my reality is to plan for the worst and hope for the best. That's my reality.
I agree with that.
And it's been that way for half a century, ever since I went through the planning. It was half a century this fall that I was learning about the soon-to-happen Tet Offensive of 1968, because I was in military intelligence, I was getting the reports, and I knew that attack was coming, and I was stocking up on ammunition, I was stocking up on food, and telling my buddies to do the same thing, most of whom did not, but a few did. So that's my reality, is to hope for the best and plan for the worst. And same thing applies to emergency communications equipment. You hope for the best. You hope you never need to use this stuff, but you plan for the worst. Now, right here in my neighborhood, we have a federal campground called Red Bluff. And the possibility of a child getting lost in these very dense woods, and by the end of June, these woods are as dense as any jungle you'll find anywhere on the planet. A small child getting lost in these dense woods is not some kind of flight of fancy. It's something that can happen and has happened all over the country. So having emergency communications set up and ready to go for search teams could make a big difference, couldn't it, Tom?
Oh, certainly, yes, absolutely. Yeah, John, these wooded areas in our neck of the woods here, they get so overgrown with brush and weeds and so on that a small child gets lost out here, it takes quite an effort to find them. It really does. And it's happened, even in my area here. Your area is actually more dense in foliage than where I am, but it does happen, and it's a major effort sometimes to find these lost people.
Right. Well, I can walk. We mow about 4 or 5 acres of grass here. If I step off the mowed area into the forest, four steps, you won't see me. You will not see me. I'm serious. You can know where I am and be looking at in where I am, and you will not see me. That's how dense it is. Just four steps off the mowed lawn into the forest. So yes, the emergency communications. When a child was lost, I was at a talking to the chief of police in Mount Vernon, Illinois, on an assignment. This would have been about 25 years ago, about a case I was working on, when it came over the radio that a 7-year-old girl was lost, and everything stopped. Every officer, every police officer, every deputy sheriff, every volunteer fireman immediately stopped whatever they were doing to begin the search immediately. And that's the way it is when a child gets lost, isn't it, Tom?
It sure is. They direct all the resources to that one incident, and usually it comes out just fine. But well, I'll tell you what, John, it's all out. It's an all-out disaster when that happens, and you really don't like seeing those things go on.
It is. The wife of a friend of mine, she had some emotional mental issues and wandered off to the forest. It's been a couple of years ago, and it was dead of winter. And I was telling people not long after that some deer hunter is going to find her body, and it was about 2 years later when a deer hunter did, in fact, find her body, where she'd wander off and finally succumb to the elements. But once again, going back to the original premise, effective communications is what makes a search and rescue effort an organized event, as opposed to a haphazard mishmash. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's very true. And John, that's where the UHF radios really shine, is in a search and rescue incident like that. You can set up a mobile repeater near the area where that you're searching, and all the portable handheld radios will go through that repeater, and they can all communicate very effectively. Sometimes the range is cut down from unit to unit, but with that repeater, it works quite well. And that is a very effective way to use a repeater system. And they're not real powerful. You can have a 5 or 10 watt repeater and use that as a portable unit and just put up a mast, a telescoping mast or something, to hold the antenna for the repeater, maybe 25 or so feet off the ground. And that will give quite a bit of range to those handheld HT radios as they do their mission.
Right, right. I've got one of those telescoping masts, and it's about 5 sections. Each one, I think, is about 8 feet or so. So, and it's got places to attach guy wires as well. But you can get an antenna pretty high in just a matter of minutes if you know what you're doing and you got the guy wires and everything, and can get it set up and have very effective communications, just like a base station, wouldn't you, Tom?
Oh, yeah, and we used to do things like that years ago with some of the ham radio guys I associated with. We would build these mobile repeaters and test them out. We would have several miles of coverage. The radius was easily 2 or 3 miles around that push-up mast with the antenna maybe at 25 or 30 feet. That's all it really took, and it worked very, very well.
Right. All right. Well, these are all the things that you learn when you get involved in ham radio. You'll meet men and women who've been doing this for decades. You'll have opportunity to purchase high-quality used equipment at deep discounts, because that's what the men and women in ham radio clubs do. They buy and sell and swap back and forth high-quality used equipment, don't they, Tom?
Well, it goes on every day. There's several ham radio forums online where they actually have classified ad sections, and you can look at those and find all types of used equipment, even test equipment and accessories that are often sought after. So just checking those forums on a daily basis, you can put together everything that you need.
Absolutely, absolutely, and have effective, immediate emergency communications. That's what we're talking about. And there is knowledge involved. This is not like picking up a cell phone, which grade school children routinely can use cell phones effectively. There's more to it than that, isn't there, Tom?
Yeah, there really is. And the problem with cell phones, John, is the latency. You know, you talk and it takes a few seconds before the other person hears it. And if they're doing texting and all that, I mean, that's fine. But for a search and rescue thing, you know, you need instant from one unit to another. You need instant communications, no delays, no dropped out zones or anything like that. You want reliable communications over that entire area. And the type of equipment we're talking about will reliably do that day in and day out. And it's not really all that expensive to set up these smaller portable repeater systems. The larger base station type repeaters, they can be quite expensive. And
hold that thought, Tom. We got a break here. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
December, visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about emergency communications. Tom, in preparedness, frequently communications is one of the last things people look at, one of the last things that they pay attention to. And when they do, their knowledge is so cursory that they make stilted, ineffective efforts to achieve the goal of emergency communications, don't they, Tom?
Yes, they do. And what I've run into many times, John, is people learn about what's out there, and they run out and they buy those Chinese HTs or walkie-talkies, those little bitty things. They have so many functions. They even have sirens and flashlights built into them. They are so complex to operate, these people never get them to do anything. And they just sit there in a box, and they don't even learn to use them. They're too complicated. I find that the Motorola HTs that just have the basic functions on them are the best buy for the money. They really are, because you can program the frequency into them, and you're ready to go. You don't need all these bells and whistles. And the last thing I want is a radio that has a flashlight and a siren built into it. It's useless. it just adds complexity that is, it really hinders everything you're trying to do in a time of crisis. You don't need to be worrying about which button to push and all that. You should be able to pick the thing up and start using it. And that's what's very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there's a term that's used, there's variations of it regarding communications equipment and simplicity. One term is cop-proof. Another term would be GI-proof. We're referring to communications equipment that is simple, with very little complexity, very easy to use, and very hard to screw up. Right, Tom?
That's the absolute best equipment to have. It's simple, and the old saying, simple is best, and it really isn't in these circumstances. If you have a crisis, a disaster going on, and you're in the middle of all that, you don't need to be worrying about which button to push or which menu to look at on the screen. You need to be able to pick that radio up and start using it. And some of those multifunction radios, they're just too complex for almost everybody. I think they're a waste of money.
Well, I agree. And people need to be diligent. And keep in mind, so I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. When you have a group of people, whether it's two people or 20, when you start buying the handy talkies, the HTs, you need to standardize on one model for the following reason: compatibility of batteries, compatibility of chargers, compatibility of holsters, microphones, charging units, antennas. Because you're buying a system. You're not buying a radio. You're buying a system. And if you don't do that, you're going to end up with a mishmash of incompatible batteries, incompatible chargers, incompatible holsters. Right, Tom?
Very true. Standardize okay. On everything and have some spares.
There we go. Tom, we're out of time. Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jen.
Appreciate it. Okay, top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Phil Myers. Stay tuned.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.